Mrs. Hopkins, reel 3.
Often the families going on leave didn't return to the same quarter. They were allocated a different quarter. So it was quite unusual for us to be allowed to keep that quarter with all our goods in it.
Which stations, of all the stations you stayed in India and Burma, did you prefer? Or which ones did you dislike?
I only stayed in Lucknow. That was the only one. We were there two and a half years. I was getting to like it very much. There was a lot to see, a lot to visit. I didn't like the heat very much, but I think that too one was getting used to. No comparison to Upper Burma, certainly. Upper Burma was very green, very lush. Though we did have monsoons there, but they were nothing like the monsoons in India.
You mean not as torrential?
Not as torrential, nor prolonged, no. I think I preferred Burma, possibly because it had been my home. But I was quite prepared to go back to India, and I felt then when I return, I would see a lot more and perhaps make better use of my time, because it was a very carefree time. I was young and just thoroughly enjoying everything round about.
You were saying earlier that the people in the hills, the Nepalese, were particularly nice. Did you and the other army wives distinguish very much between different sections of the native population, or did you regard them more or less all the same? I mean, did you prefer Indians to Burmans or vice versa, or did you distinguish between hill peoples and plains people very much, or between Bengalis and Punjabis and so on?
I was very aware of the difference. They were all very different. You knew a Burman was a Burman, an Indian was quite different to a Burman. The Nepalese were quite different, the hill people, the Sikhs, Punjabis. Yes, there was a difference.
And did your attitude to them vary?
No, not at all, no. I always had the feeling that the Indians, use that word generally, meaning Sikhs, the Nepalese, the Punjabis, they always showed respect to a European. They would always, if you walked, say, onto a station platform, they would move out of your way. They always gave you that little preference. Or if in a marketplace, we didn't often go to a marketplace, and a European was at a stall wanting to buy something, they would just move aside, let you have your turn before theirs. I was always aware of that. Never shown any hostility at all.
Wasn't that true of the Burmans as well?
Oh, yes, yes.
Did you have any preferences for townspeople as opposed to country people, or vice versa?
No, I wasn't aware of that.
Or rich and poor?
Well, you're aware of the poorness in India. But I don't think it had any effect on us. You were just aware of it. And you were aware of the great wealth of some people. This is in the Indian community. But it didn't affect us in any way.
You said that you got into Lucknow to see the historical side of the town, but and that you didn't manage to get to Agra. Did you get anywhere else in India, or to see anything in the way of architecture, sculptures, handicrafts, Indian arts, and this type of thing?
No. I, apart from going to the hill station, I didn't, and to Calcutta, I didn't travel anywhere else in India. But Lucknow provided, because it was the capital then of the United Provinces, a very, very large city, with beautiful churches, beautiful gardens, and roads were avenues of roads leading into Lucknow. Because the cars were very, very few and far between. We used the main means of transport was a tonga. It was a horse-pulled carriage. You sat, it could only take four people, two seats on either side, and the driver in front. It was, had a canopy over the top. And if you were going to a dance or going out for the evening, to the cinema, you send your servant to the taxi rank, so to speak, to the tonga rank, and ordered one for whatever time you wanted, and there they were on the spot. Very, very good. Wasn't expensive either to use. You use those to go shopping. That's if it was outside the barracks. Otherwise, you'd walk to the Naffy. But a lot of the families only shopped at the Naffy, never got any further than that. The Naffy had adequate supplies. But it was so interesting going to into Lucknow, into the city. Well, I didn't see half, I don't think, of what I would have liked to have seen.
Did the fact that you and the other army wives were in such a small minority, the fact that you're in very much a male-dominated society, cause any problems or affect your life very much?
Well, I think there was always the... One knew that there were many more males, and going to a dance, you knew very well that you were going to get partners galore. Is that what you meant?
Mm-hmm.
I think there were occasions when a wife or two would perhaps have an outside affair, but was very soon stopped. In fact, if it continued, the husband would get a home posting immediately, take his wife and family.
Did that happen, to your knowledge, in any instances?
Yes, it did. Yes. In fact, when we came on leave, one of the wives, my husband was not actually put in charge of her, but she came under his wing, bringing her back because she continued. The husband had been sent home once and sent back again, but she was a flirt. She really loved the men, and she was sent home.
What was the feeling of the other army wives to things like this? Was it frowned on severely, or did they adopt a lenient attitude towards it?
Oh, fairly lenient. I don't think it was... We didn't feel shocked. No, I don't think it really affected us too much. And I think possibly where the little temptation came, the men went on for quite lengthy manoeuvres, training, twice a year, I think it was, and usually lasted about 6 weeks. So I think that's possibly where the temptation would come for a wife, perhaps to be taken to the cinema or something by another man and possibly develop from there.
Can you tell me how what the relations were like between the Anglo-Indians and the British soldiers, the British Army?
Well, I think on both sides there was a little prejudiced. The Anglo-Indian community and the European community didn't favour completely the soldiers, and also the soldiers didn't favour Anglo-Indians. Even though my husband was in the army and my father was connected with the army, when he was visiting the home, my father had always asked him, "Well, when you visit us, be sure and come in civilian clothes." So he still had that feeling, must keep up appearances. And there was an instance, my eldest brother, he was attending the Rangoon University, and when he came home for one of the long vacations, found my husband visiting the family, and said, "Oh, I think you shouldn't have him over to the house. My friends are giving me a rough time because you're going out with a soldier." So there was that feeling there. Though we mixed with them, that feeling was there. Although you're in the army, I don't appear in the army uniform. You can visit me providing you're wearing a sports jacket or a suit.
Can I ask you about your attitude towards British rule in India? Your attitude at the time, what your attitude was at the time. Did you and the other army wives consider British rule as a good thing for India or not?
I don't think we even thought about it in those days. No, we weren't a bit politically minded, we weren't aware of any political situation. I think we just took it for granted. It was never questioned, never discussed. Politics were never discussed then.
And what about the permanence of British rule? Did you think that British rule was going to go on forever, or did you expect it to end?
At that time, I think it would have gone on forever. Never thought of it ending, ever.
But you knew about the political agitations of Gandhi and so on.
Yes, we were always aware of that. But possibly being young, it didn't occur to us to even take an interest. And of course then, there was no television and no radio. I think we were perhaps one of the very, very few, perhaps the only one to have a tiny radio set, because my husband was a radio fan. So we never got outside news at all. The newspaper, we had a paper, but I can't recall exactly what it was. So we weren't in touch very much with what was happening. We heard of riots, we heard of civilian disobedience, but really weren't aware what they meant.